are games that come in a little bag with some treats and a little handcraft. It's possible we could get you a bag in time if you let me know. And also, you don't need to have that to join in. You just need the link. I sent out the link to everyone twice this week, but if you need the link, just text me or call me, and I'll be glad to get that to you this afternoon. At 6:30, we'll be on Zoom together. Kelly will be leading us. She's in North Carolina with her grandson. That's kind of exciting. And we don't have a grandson yet, for those of you that are asking. We're not due for another week. Our daughter is due, and maybe it'll go later than that. As many of you know, sometimes babies do. Well, let's pray together to celebrate God's presence with us. Father, we give you praise, for you are present in all times, in all situations, and your love is so profound, your grace is so great. And today, as we celebrate the love of God, we thank you for it, and we thank you for the ways in which, above all else, your love, your grace, your holiness calls us, holds us, and sustains us. In Jesus' name, amen. Join in worship. Sing right out where you are and celebrate God's goodness as the guys lead us. What powerful words. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. I want you to sense that power as we go to prayer. We're going to sing Breathe in a moment or two, and that'll prepare our hearts. And I want us simply to breathe in the power of God and His presence, that His love would comfort, that His forgiveness would heal, that His power would sustain and uplift you and hold you. We know there is loss. We know there is grief. We know there's anxiety and fear of the unknown. But greater than all of that is the hope on which we stand, Christ, the solid rock. The assurance of His presence with us makes all the difference. In the darkest night, we know His grace is there. And so open your heart as we prepare to pray, and then as we talk to God, draw near. Allow Him to draw near to you. Christ came that we might touch and feel and see, that we might have one who lived with us and among us, so that we could know the power of God in every dimension of our lives. We thank you that by the power of the Holy Spirit today we live in Christ. He makes all things new. He is our daily bread. He is the bread we breathe. And so, Lord, we praise you that as that closest, personal, intimate breath we breathe, you are that close and that near to all who seek you. You compassionately love and search out the lost. You're the God of redemption and hope for even the hopeless and the broken and the most distant one. Lord, help us to take the journey home to you. Help us to turn and walk back where we have failed, where we have fallen, where we are distant from you. Today, Lord, may your love just so encompass our hearts and our minds that we would long to know you better. We would seek you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. Lord, today as you speak your word to us, we want to be receptive. We want to listen. Allow us, God, to even realize that maybe we've been wrong, or maybe we need to take a fresh look, or maybe there's some changes that need to come in our lives. Give us that kind of courage, O God. Give us that kind of insight by your word. Your word is sharp and sharper than a double-edged sword, and so cuts through to that which we really need. As the divine physician, touch your people, O God. Physical healing, yes. And spiritual healing, even more, yes. An eternal life, an eternal yes of God to us. Lord, we have neighbors and friends and people in our circles of influence who don't know you, whose walk has grown cold or distant from you. And so we pray, Lord, as you bring them to our minds, that we would be willing this week to speak to them, to draw near to them, to, in the Christian sense of love, embrace them and allow them to know the affirming and convicting power of the Holy Spirit. We pray for our country, O God. We need you. We have always needed you. There have always been those parts that weren't right and those parts that were, and we've sought to improve and believe there is a better tomorrow. So guide, we pray, those who are elected to lead, and we ask, O God, for righteousness to be a theme and a recurring thought and pattern and a desire in the hearts of men and women who are in leadership, O God. We give our lives to you, Father, and we are receptive and open to what you want to say to us, and we'll be true and faithful to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's a good day to be together, and I can't think of any ice I've liked any better than this. So thank you, Lord. And God thought we needed some ice cubes at this time, and so we got them in bucket loads, didn't we? But I'm going to talk this morning about the mountaintop, and probably not the mountaintop that comes to your mind. We talk about mountaintop experiences, and certainly we love those experiences of being very close to God and being on the mountaintop. Moses, three different times, went to the top of the mountain, Mount Sinai, to listen to God and to receive from God the laws for the people of Israel. All of us have heard of the Ten Commandments and probably know most of them by memory. And yet I have to confess that for most of my life as a pastor and theologian and student, I've struggled with the second of the commandments. Not because I don't believe in it, not because I don't think it's important. I've struggled with it because it is about idolatry. And I've thought that perhaps, you know, there aren't idols today, or perhaps there isn't the form of a image that we bow down to or light candles in front of or pray to, because we don't believe in that, and that's a thing of the past. And so maybe that commandment was just for those Old Testament people. But what God's been showing me through these weeks and months as I've been thinking about it and praying about it is that it is a theme not only of the Old Testament, it's a strong theme in the New Testament as well. I'll be showing you some of that in this message today. But I'm convinced that idolatry is something we run into all the time and don't even realize it, perhaps, or aren't even totally aware of how much it is a part of our daily lives. Now, last Sunday night, I sat down with, I'm sure, many millions of others and watched a spectacle, which I enjoyed at least for the first quarter, and watched what happened. And it's certainly fun to be a football fan. I understand that, and I don't knock that. But I think you'll see in this video that I want to show an illustration of truth. Hopefully you can separate your love for football from the truth that's in this video. But I think it's a remarkable way of understanding idolatry and speaks clearly the message that I want to bring to you today. So let's watch it together.
I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. Well, you would think they were crazy if you didn't understand their culture and their religion. See, that's just the thing. They were worshipers of idols, and they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted. They danced. They made sacrifices to their idols. They had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. You don't really relate, do you? Let's try it again. I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. See, that's just the thing. They were worshipers of idols, and they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted. They danced. They made sacrifices to their idols. They had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. Idol worship. It's not just about golden calves anymore.
Scripture teaches us that anything we value more than God is an idol. Anything in our lives that takes a higher priority, that has a higher place, that distracts us, or demands our time and our energy more than God does, is an idol to us. Now, don't get it wrong. Let's understand this very clearly. We all need life. We all need entertainment. We all can enjoy a football game. That's not the issue. The issue is what's first. God or your passion for the team? I noticed the Eagles took it pretty hard in that clip there, Mr. Alex. They had a couple of them really highlighted. Good. I knew you'd think that was good, yeah. not all people agree, but yeah. And so Moses, when he goes up the mountain to meet with God, there's a very interesting part of the story which sometimes we forget. God says, "Do not allow anyone on the mountain." All of Israel's in the valley camped, and they've been for 3 months out of Egypt and living in the wilderness. And God calls Moses to climb Mount Sinai and to meet with him, and a great cloud comes, a dark cloud, which envelops God and Moses. And the people are not to even touch the mountain. And if they do, they're to be stoned or killed with arrows because of the awful presence of God. They could not stand, God says. In fact, they would not live if they came into the cloud. And so God, in his great holiness, came to give us his law. And in giving us his law, he gives us what is the one column in the Old Testament of God's salvation. Salvation is being saved from sin. Salvation is being redeemed and brought out of the darkness and brokenness of sinfulness. And it is important to maintain, even in our New Testament understanding, that God is a God of holiness and law and justice. The New Testament, of course, reveals the other half of the story. Christ's love for us was hidden and written throughout all the Old Testament, but openly and fully revealed in the life of Christ in the New Testament. Obedience is the response to the law, and in the New Testament, faith is the response to Christ. And so we have the faith that you and I believe in with both columns, that sense of right and wrong and the need for forgiveness from sin, and that great grace and that great joy as Christ comes to live in us. And by the power of His Holy Spirit, we're able to do all that He calls us to do. Jesus said it this way: the pagans run after these things. He's talking about housing and clothing and food and ordinary daily needs that we have. And He said the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. God knows. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do you ever feel like you had more trouble in one day than the day deserved? Sometimes we do. You know, God is with us even in the most difficult, the most awful, the most, what the world would say, God-forsaken times. God is still there. He doesn't leave us. Sometimes we don't sense His presence. I was listening to an outstanding pastor in our country talk about the COVID influence early on, and he said for about a month he just couldn't sense the presence of God. He said, I didn't lose my faith, but I didn't know where God was in the midst of this. And then he said, I got a clear verse and a clear message and a clear word, and I knew He was with me, and I knew what to do and say. So I suggest to you, you're going to go through times like that. But God is here with us, and we are not to make of other things idols that we would worship. As I mentioned, Moses went up the mountain three times. God told him to bring Aaron the second time, and then the third time there were about 70 that went with him up the mountain to encounter God. You remember the story when Moses came down the mountain carrying the two tablets of the law which God had written. He gets so angry and so despondent because of what the people are doing. Chapter 32 of Exodus tells it this way: the people saw that Moses took a long time to come down from the mountain. So they gathered around Aaron and they said to him, come make us a god, small g, that will lead us. This fellow Moses brought us up out of Egypt, but we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, take the gold and earrings off your wives, your sons, and your daughters. Bring the earrings to me. So all the people took off their earrings. They brought them to Aaron. He took what they gave him and made it into a metal statue of a god. It looked like a calf. Aaron shaped it with a tool. Then the people said, Israel, here is your God who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw what they were doing, he built an altar in front of the calf, and he said, tomorrow will be a feast day to honor the Lord. So the next day the people got up early. They sacrificed burnt offerings and brought friendship offerings. They sat down to drink, and they got up to dance wildly in front of their God, small g. The Lord spoke to Moses. He said, go down. Your people have brought you brought up out of Egypt have become very sinful. They have quickly turned away from what I commanded them. They have made themselves a metal statue of a god in the shape of a calf. They have brought down and bowed down and sacrificed to it. And they have said, Israel, here is your God who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses. They are stubborn. Now leave me alone. I will destroy them because of my great anger. Then I will make you into a great nation. Moses intercedes with God and intercedes so that God does not destroy Israel at that point. And they learn the error of their way, and about 3,000 had to die that day. Awful, horrible reality. But it is here to remind us that idolatry is a sinful deviation from God's plan. It is a breakdown. It is a loss that we would have, for we have taken God and put him to one side and put instead that which we are looking for to be our hope, or that which we hope will hold us up, or that which would carry us through, and everything else but God lets us down. Only God is secure. Only God is eternal. Only God is the one in whom we can trust with all our heart and know that he will safely bring us home. In Exodus 20, it says these words that you remember from the commandment: you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Now I want to say it this way to you. There is a brokenness, there is a lostness, and there are great losses that occur when we make something other than God our God. When our lives get pushed in the direction of things and fame and fortune and popularity, or just getting by instead of having God at the center of our lives. I have a habit, and it's not a good habit. It's one of the few bad habits I'll confess to, though. That is that sometimes I like to carry more than I can handle. I mean, I pick up a bag, and I pick up two bags, and I grab something else, and then I see the mail, and then I forget my keys, and then I drop my phone, but I struggle in because I don't want to make two trips. You ever do that? Maybe what's full for you is your calendar. You know, you've added so many things. I can sit down on a Monday morning and write a plan for the week that would take me an eternity to complete. And then get upset with myself because I don't do it. Have you ever been there? I preached a sermon. There's some sermons a few years ago about how much abundance of stuff we have, that Americans will actually go to the trouble of paying for heated and air-conditioned storage so they can keep things they don't use because they don't have room to store it in their own house. That's pretty bad, isn't it? But that's the way we live. There's nothing wrong with things. Things in and of themselves are amoral. They're neither good nor bad. The issue is, what do you love, and where do you spend your time, and what distracts you? And the reason I talked about grabbing so many things or filling my schedule so full is that what gets pushed out is God. Gets left to second place or third, or we get so busy in the week we can't even take a day to honor him that he commands us to take. We get so crowded and so noisy and so caught up in the running of our minds or our worries or our cares that we can't sit down and allow him to feed us. You are my daily bread, we sang. Do you take time for daily bread? Do you take time to listen to God and to draw near to him? At the same time, God was making this command to Moses to have no idols. What are the people doing? They're making an idol in the valley. Ironic, and only the truth could look that strange. But you see, what we have is this need to worship. God created us with an eternal soul that needs worship. It needs that which it reveres. It looks for another soul, another reality which is like it, that would be companionship, that would be understanding, that would draw near and walk with us. The problem is we look in the wrong places. I liken it to those videos that are always popping up on my Facebook page of America's Funniest Videos, some of them are called, and they're fails. People invariably are trying to walk across what obviously is a plank that's not going to get them to the other side. Or they're invariably stepping on stones they think are secure, and instead they slip. That's an image of what we do. We put our hope, we put our trust into things that are not secure, that don't last, that will let us down. Many times it's not an intentional, oh, I think I'll find an idol. Most of the time it's, oh, I'm so busy doing what I think I want to do or what I need to do that I've lost God in the process. I think his name was Mike. I worked with him a long time ago. I had a summer job in a factory. Mike was a union carpenter. I was a lowly scrub. I took all the work no one else wanted to do. Mike every Friday would talk to us about how excited he was because his wife would pull into the parking lot at 5 o'clock in their camper truck and the trailer boat behind it and their kids all loaded in, and they would go straight to the lake. Many times on Monday morning, Mike would say, I just pulled in time this morning from the lake to get back to work. Now, I love to fish, and there's nothing wrong with camping. But look at what Mike had done. He just crowded God right out of his life. He thought it was a good thing, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But the problem is when they take the place of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things can be added in. God provides them. God intends for us to have fun. He wants us to enjoy. And I know I've been preaching on joy. And when I was telling Marcia I was going to preach on idolatry, she said, oh, I guess the joy is over. Well, to get to joy, you got to clear the deck. We got to clear the deck of some of our idols. We're made for worship, and we hunger for stability and strength and hope beyond ourselves. And so we allow things to be idols. We put too much hope in them. Good things many times, but not permanent, not God-based, not Christ-centered, not because God tells us to or allows us to, not because we checked in first with him, but because we decided the order and the priority. And we said, oh yeah, God, come along if you can. Instead of saying, God, what do you want with my life? Oh, I know you think, well, if I say to God, what do you want with my life? He'll call me to be a missionary someplace I really don't want to go. You know what? If he does, he'll give you the want to go. But don't worry about that. God has called you right where you are to live for him. And in that place and in those circumstances, with the difficulties that are there, God gives you grace to overcome and to carry through and to live for him. There's 206 passages in the Bible that refer to idolatry, so obviously it's a very big theme. Yet I've never seen carved images like I mentioned before, and so I often wondered, where is the idolatry? And it's to give decisive value to anything that's not God. Put it to you this way. Through God, what God wants in our lives, going to him first, then anything that happens and that comes and that he allows is good and blessed and honored. But without God or before God in our decisions, in our use of time and our money and our talents and our energies, without God, it's out of order. It's idolatry. Because we're seeking it first for ourselves. You see, idolatry is self-reliance, meaning I'm going to do it myself. How many babies or children at the age of 2 says, I'll do it, when they don't have the capacity or they don't understand what they're saying? Self-indulgence, where we say, you know, I deserve a break. I deserve more of whatever it is we enjoy. Instead of saying, Lord, what's your will? What's your plan? Where in your plan is this to be a pleasurable thing for me? Seek first his kingdom. So what do you long for? What ideal do you build the stairs in your life to climb? I've been captivated by this metaphor of a ladder. And you know, we get to climb a ladder in life. We get to get better. We get to grow. But what do you put your ladder against? And see, what God is saying is when ladder is fame or money or some kind of advancement for yourself, you will find the ladder falling. I was listening to one of the men who worked with Truett Cathy, the originator of Chick-fil-A. This man worked in marketing for 37 years for Chick-fil-A, from its infancy to the place where it is one of the leading fast food companies in the world. And he said, I talk to young people all the time who think coming out of college that 10, 15 years of working really hard so they could get enough money to retire. And he said, yeah, well, 10 or 15 would be really ideal, wouldn't it? And he said, that's the wrong approach. He said, you want a job that you enjoy for life. You want to find something to do that fulfills you. What are you going to do after you worked and retired? And now if it's so consumed you, you have nothing else, and now you've lost your job. It's a very good insight, and it's a very good point. And he's saying, why endure a job you can't stand for a few years so you can then live a life you want to live, instead of living the life of abundance and fullness now? God calls us to that fullness. He calls us to that abundance. It's an attitude. It's a mentality of generosity, and it's a mentality of abundance, the abundance of God. I'd love to tell you more Truett Cathy stories and more Chick-fil-A stories this morning, but they're closed today, so I'll move on. John Wesley has a sermon on idolatry, and this is what he said. This is the true God, the end of all souls that he has made, the center of all created spirits and eternal life, the only foundation of present as well as eternal happiness. To him, therefore, alone our heart is due. 17th or 18th century language, but you get the point. This is the true God, the end of all souls that he has made, the center of all created spirits, the only foundation of present as well as eternal happiness. To him, therefore, alone our heart is due. And he cannot, he will not quit his claim or consent to its being given to any other. He is continually saying to every child of man, my son, give me your heart. And to give our heart to any other is plain idolatry. Let me read that again. It's too important. God cannot, and he will not quit his claim. In other words, he makes the demand and he doesn't back down. It's not a negotiation. You don't get a lower price if you wait or buy today. There's no cheap entry. It is a demand that it is all or nothing. He will not quit his claim or consent to its being given to another. He is continually saying to every child of man, my son, give me your heart. And to give our heart to any other is plain idolatry. Those are strong claims. These are big issues. We're not talking here about feeling a little better today and enjoying tomorrow. We're talking about building a life that is solid. We're talking about an internal investment. We're talking about the long run of your life. Is there instant gratification? Sometimes, but not very often. Are there always blessings? Well, yes, there are always spiritual blessings, though there are long seasons when there doesn't seem to be very many earthly blessings. That's part of it. That's reality. But my friends, the rewards are eternal. And not only that, the joy of knowing the Lord, even in the struggles and even in the difficult times, makes it worth everything. Cyril of Jerusalem in 315, he was born, and he wrote this not long, obviously, just 200 years after Christ. Humanity forsook God and made carved images for themselves. Since, therefore, an image of humanity was falsely worshipped as God, God became truly human, that the falsehood could be done away. Isn't that great? You see, because we began to worship men, began to worship other humans, began to idealize humanity, God came to show us what true humanity is, so that in Christ we could worship Him, take away all the falsehood of what humanity is. Isn't that powerful? Aren't you glad today for Jesus, who cleanses us from all sin, who calls us to walk in holiness before Him, cast out every idol, break down every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. That's what God calls us to. And what God calls us to, He equips us to do. He makes it possible. He doesn't give you an impossible Mount Everest climb. He walks with you every step of the way and gives you the power to win in victory over sin, over darkness, and over idolatry. Would you bow your heads with me for prayer for a moment? Father, this morning we thank You that Your word is so clear. I think of the words of John in the end of 1 John, where he warns us again about idolatry. And I pray, Lord, that we would take an inventory of our lives, that where there are those areas that we say, don't touch, hands off, God, don't mess with this area, that we would instead surrender and say, Lord, I give it all to You. I don't know how I'll make it. I don't know what You will do, but I trust You. You've tried Your own way. You've built Your own ideals. You've gone after Your own standards or Your own beliefs and thought You could cobble together a life, and it's not working. So why don't You just turn it into God? Say, Lord, You and You alone, You and You alone can direct my life, can have my heart, my soul, and I'll trust You to do all things well. That's His promise. He's kept His word since the creation of the world. He'll keep His word through all eternity. You can count on Him. Thank You, Father. You're answering prayer right now of men and women who are praying and asking You forgiveness for idols they've allowed to creep in. Forgiveness for secondary things being treated as of first importance. Lord, there are some lives where You just need to clean out a whole lot of stuff. Help us to be willing to surrender. Help us to be willing to do it in faith, trusting. As we close this prayer, I just want to say to you again that there's several of us here that could talk with you, meet with you, counsel you, guide you in Scripture. We're your cheerleaders. We want to be your encouragers. We want to come alongside and walk the walk with you. And we'd be more than happy if you'd ask us to do that. Lord, thank You now that we can worship You. As we sing this next song, Father, I just pray that it would be not only a prayer, it'd be a testimony. A testimony we can truthfully sing, and then a testimony we can truthfully live. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun still my soul will sing your praise on it.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Paul says it this way, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May all you do this week bring glory to God. You're dismissed. God bless you as you go.